engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Good evening, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Thanks for spending some time with me tonight. Thanks for tuning in. Once again, we have a nice, strong, healthy audience, and we appreciate all of you. Let me know where you're from and any other things you want to tell me, what's on your mind tonight, what intentions we can pray for you, because all of us here at Priests for Life do pray for your intentions every day. Tonight, as we've been doing for day six, we have a novena going on in reparation for the damage done by the Democrat Party, and a big amount of damage that is. You know it. Every once in a while, somebody comes along on our broadcast who doesn't seem to know it, or unfortunately, some of those that are guilty for that damage come along and kind of check out what we're doing and saying. They probably leave with indigestion, but now we want to pray. I want to pray tonight actually with you a decade of the rosary, and those of you that are Catholics, maybe you say the rosary regularly. Even if you're not Catholic, feel free to listen along with us and pray in your own way. I want to do this in reparation, especially, like I say, they do a lot of damage to the Constitution, this Democrat Party, these congressional Democrats. Really, really a sad commentary on how utterly mistaken the voters can be. But I want to pray in a particular way in reparation for the damage done by the abuse of power by congressional Democrats in regard to impeachment. And I'll say a word about that just to set it in context. I won't keep you too long tonight because, as you might notice, I'm a little tired tonight. Excuse me, but we'll pray. But let me also start with my book, Pro-Life Reflections for Every Day. You know, yesterday was the actual birthday of Martin Luther King Jr. And of course, his niece Alvita is with us full time on our Priest for Life team. Yesterday was the actual birthday. This coming Monday, day after tomorrow, is the national holiday. And so our reflection tonight touches on that. In Acts 17, we read, "In him we live and move and have our being." Reflection: Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. fought for the equal dignity of every human life. He wrote, "If we are to have peace on earth, we must be concerned about the sacredness of all human life. Man is a child of God, made in his image, and must be respected as such. When we truly believe this," he continued, "we won't kill anybody." Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege of defending human life through the pro-life movement. Amen. Well, also through the MAGA movement. MAGA. Make America Great Again. This is an aspect now of this movement moving forward in America. It's an aspect of our being pro-life, and our being pro-life, and so many of you are active in the pro-life movement, our being pro-life is also part of MAGA. Because that's one of the things that makes for the greatness of America. As a matter of fact, John Paul II, Saint Pope John Paul II, talked about the greatness of America at one of his visits here. I remember some of you may remember, in 1987, if we can go back that far, he was in America, and his departure from the country on that trip, he gave a final speech at the Detroit airport, and he talked about the greatness of America being defined and depending upon the way we treat the unborn, the very greatness of our country, how we treat the marginalized, the weak. It's a sign of strength of a country when we treat them well. So President Trump, who is our president, like right now, okay, to the dismay of some people who, unfortunately, yeah, it is sad. They don't recognize true greatness when it's right in front of them. When it's right in front of them, they don't recognize. And we pray in reparation for that too. But it is part of the greatness of a country, how it treats the weakest. And there's never been a more pro-life president than Donald J. Trump. You know, this nonsense of impeachment. You know, the Democrats did it again. They abused, for the second time in the same administration, a constitutional tool, okay, that is supposed to be only for extraordinary circumstances. It's supposed to be used only for extraordinary circumstances. And the founders made it very clear that it was not meant to be a political tool. You don't impeach a president just because you think he said the wrong thing or did the wrong thing, or you disagree with his approach, or you disagree with his style, or you disagree with him on anything. It's not a political tool. That's point number one. The founders envisioned that this is something which would be used only when there was such clear, overwhelming evidence that a holder of office, any office, because you can impeach not just from the presidency, but any other situation where the person holding office so clearly and blatantly violated the standards by which they should remain in that office. It's meant for the purpose of removing someone from office, furthermore. And hence the absurdity of doing it a few days before he's scheduled to leave office, because constitutionally the term of the president expires after 4 years on January 20th. Did the Democrats forget that he's leaving office anyway? Or maybe do they think he's not? What's going on here? And then, of course, some people say, well, they want to make sure that they're afraid that he'll run again. The president can only have two terms, but they don't have to be consecutive. So he could run again in the future, 4 years from now. Oh, the Democrats are afraid of that. Oh, they're afraid of that. The establishment is afraid of that. But you see, the Senate would not have jurisdiction after to punish a private citizen. You wouldn't have jurisdiction over President Trump once he's not president anymore. The Senate doesn't have that jurisdiction. They have jurisdiction under the Constitution to have a trial for a sitting president in order to determine the question of whether he should be removed from office. But if he's already out of office, it's a moot point. It's a moot point. Of course, this requires a little knowledge of the Constitution. It requires a little bit of logical thinking. It requires a little bit of respect for our republic and for the president. These Democrat leaders have none of that. Absolutely none of that. Yeah, we've got to pray in reparation, that's for sure. So talk to your friends. Talk to those within your circle of influence. Point out to them that we can't, you know, reduce to nothing the significance of our Constitution, the significance of something called impeachment. One of you is saying, this is an effort just to destroy one's name and reputation. Yes, I agree with you. And that's why you and I need to be busy about the task of extolling the well-deserved reputation of one of the greatest presidents that we've ever had. Just look at the list of accomplishments. We talk about it here on this program. We will continue to talk about it. We have to educate people in the reality and the historic nature of those accomplishments, how those accomplishments bless our freedom and our families and our future, our military, our economy, our security, our religious freedom, our right to life, our right to pray, our right to gather and assert our ideas. The president has done more for these things than we're even aware of. So we're going to continue this MAGA movement that all but a handful of you are part of. This is part of what we're committed to be educating our fellow citizens, educating our children and grandchildren to the great respect in which they should hold this president. Again, that's independent of one's political views. Here we're talking about a respect for the good things that he has accomplished. Let's pray. I just want to invite you to say with me one decade of the rosary, and we'll reflect on the crucifixion. Because Jesus died for our sins, to take away the sins of the world. And that's what we're trying to do as we look to him as the only source, the only remedy for sin, the only source of making up for sin. We reflect on that tremendous act of Jesus Christ as we pray in reparation for this damage done by these Democrats who are acting contrary to any kind of love or respect for this great country and her Constitution. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus offers himself freely upon the cross to take away our sins. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners,
now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, and lead all souls into heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm seeing various comments come in, where you're all from, and all clear across the country and around the world. Thank you, my friends, for giving me the honor of sharing some of your time. You know, isn't it amazing that as President Trump is continuously attacked, his approval rating remains strong, and he's named the most admired man in the country. In fact, for the last 10 years, he's been among the top 10 of the most admired men, as those opinion polls are taken each year. And he got three times as many votes in that area as, what's that guy's name? Excuse me a second. So, it starts with a B. Oh, Biden got 6% on this year's list of who do you regard as the most admired man? Is it Bowden? Burden? No, Biden. Biden, that's right. 6%. President Trump got 18%. Nobody got higher than that. What's going on here? See, this is what the other side is so afraid of. These approval ratings, they just can't bring them down. The admiration in which people hold him, more votes than any other president in history. They don't know what to do. And that's going to continue. They're going to continue to not know what to do. It really shows how clueless they are when those that are advocating to actually have a Senate trial about the president, which, by the way, he did nothing wrong, after he leaves office, you would think that they would just want to see, they talk about, oh, you know, we want to get beyond this. Oh, we want to be done with President Trump. Oh, yeah, they think they want to. And they're going to keep the spotlight focused on him even after he leaves office. Do these Democrat senators really want the first days of the presidency of, what's that guy's name again? This Biden, Broden, Biden. That they want that the first days and weeks of his term to be... for President Trump to be the focus? What's wrong with these people? You know, you don't know what to believe after a while as far as, you know, what are they really trying to do? They don't want to forget about it. Can't forget about him, can they? You can't lose their focus off of this man. Now, he is the most admired, you know, because he's done the most. He's done the most. They study his accomplishments. ProLifePresident.com. We made a special website, ProLifePresident.com, where you can review in detail his accomplishments. Do that. That's as MAGA people, this is one of the key responsibilities we have now. Keep educating people because we're still benefiting from those accomplishments. And we need to know exactly what those policies and accomplishments are so we can defend them from the efforts of the Democrats to change them, erase them, dismantle them, come in there and, you know, tamper with these policies and try to start leading the country in the opposite direction. Paris Climate Accord, for example. What a disaster that is. You ever study how much that would harm the American economy? And jobs, how unfairly
this Paris Climate Accord. Oh, you know, it sounds so praiseworthy. Oh, yeah, we're concerned about the environment. Listen, President Trump is very concerned about the environment. We have cleaner air and water than ever before in America. And he has taken key steps to protect the environment. Paris Climate Accord has nothing to do with climate. It treats America unfairly. Just study its provisions. It treats America very unfairly vis-a-vis, for example, China. Their economy wouldn't be hurt. They, in fact, under the Paris Climate Accord, they could keep doing whatever they're doing. They can actually keep doing whatever they're doing. We're the ones that have to then bear the burden economically in terms of jobs and everything. Study it. Study it. Yeah, people are so superficial about these things. By the way, going back to this whole impeachment thing, let me just bring up another thought. We don't punish people in America for speech. I don't have time to go into it now in the constitutional perspective, but look up the Brandenburg principle. You want to see a little bit of constitutional theory here in terms of speech. The Brandenburg principle. We don't punish speech. What the folks on the left are doing, what they're very good at doing, is doing damage to America, going down a very dangerous road when they say, oh, well, you know, now this is terrible. The president was inciting violence. He did no such thing. But when you want to express your viewpoint about something, and then somebody else decides to do something wrong, because, and they say, oh, well, you know, he said this, he said that. That is not punishable under our American system, under our American Constitution. Speech is protected. People really have to study, and the best way to defend our freedom of speech is really to, number one, to study and understand it, and then number two, to actually practice it. But we don't, in our American system, we don't punish people for what they believe in their heart and in their mind, or for what they speak on their lips. We do not punish people for that. So, you know, the left needs to get off that bandwagon and fast. We punish actions. If somebody breaks the law, actually does it, if somebody actually does violence, there are laws to deal with that. And the laws should deal with that. President Trump is all about that, enforcing the law and making sure we support our police and other law enforcement officials. But then again, the left criticizes him for doing that. ICE, the great men and women of ICE, of the Immigrations and Customs Enforcement. When the president does things and enforces that, I mean, then they want to criticize him for that. Some one of you is asking about whether the Senate would convict. Requires two-thirds. I don't see that happening. I don't know that there would even be a trial in the Senate. Oh, why hasn't Pelosi sent the articles over to the Senate? I think the whole thing, brothers and sisters, the whole thing is a sham. I mean, where in the impeachment? Where were the hearings? Where was the president's opportunity to bring witnesses and? Where were the witnesses for that matter from the other side? Where's his opportunity to defend himself? Where's all this process? There's no process. The Democrats, they don't know how to govern. First of all, they don't want to govern. They don't know how to govern. They're incapable of carrying out the office for which they've taken an oath. They ought to be out of office, every last one of these Democrats, out of office. They are a disgrace. The party is a disgrace. They should be out of office. Let's raise our voices about that, brothers and sisters. Let's raise our voices about that. Enough is enough. So
We don't punish people for speech in America. We have a long, rich, strong tradition of freedom of speech. And you know, people from the left and the right are often united on this very point about freedom of speech. I've dealt with it for many years within the arena of the pro-life movement, right? We have to be free to speak up about the fact that abortion is wrong, the fact that abortion itself is violence. And people might not like that speech. Some people might get upset. Some people might get very upset. Other people, you know, there have been instances where damage has been done to life and property on the part in the name of some people. Again, a small, tiny little fraction of those involved in the movement do damage, have done damage to life or property in the name of fighting abortion. But if they do damage to life and property in the name of fighting abortion, that doesn't mean that the rest of us who are fighting abortion are supposed to shut up about it. Again, you punish people who do wrong things. You don't punish people for saying what they believe is true simply because somebody else quoted them or relied on what those other people said in order to do something that's wrong. Viewpoint discrimination in America is highly unconstitutional. Let me give you just a little bit more here to really clearly understand this. And this is a little bit of constitutional law. Let's say I want to get together with a couple of friends and speak a message out on the public sidewalk. Okay, so first of all, public sidewalk. I'm not going to go on somebody else's property. I'm going to go on public property, which belongs to me as a taxpayer, right? We all get to use it. I'm not going to block traffic. I'm not going to block pedestrians. I'm not going to block the entranceway of buildings or residences. So if you go on a public sidewalk, public street corner, let's say, you're respectful, you don't push people or block traffic or anything, but you want to stand there and you just want to give a message to the public, you can do that. I can do that. You can stand there and just give a speech. You could stand there and hand out flyers. You could stand there and hold a sign. This is classic First Amendment protected speech. Okay. Now, what if standing on that corner, I went together with two friends and we were holding a sign so that the people driving by could see the sign. We do this all the time in the pro-life movement. I'm sure many of you have taken part in the Life Chain and people stand. And just today I was driving here to the office after doing an errand, and there were some people about seven people on a street corner here in Florida holding up some signs. They were protesting something. That's our First Amendment right to do that. Okay. Let's suppose that we're standing there and we're holding signs peacefully, and the police come and they say, listen, the town here is asking that you not hold these signs in that particular place because the way that the way that you're standing, the signs are blocking the view of some of the oncoming vehicles to the blocking the view of the traffic light. So what constitutionally, what can they require us to do? Constitutionally, they can require us to adjust our position. They can't stand between us and the intended audience of our message. So they have to provide us an alternate way to get the message to that same audience. And basically what that should mean is, okay, friends, instead of standing over here, just move over here a little bit so that you're not blocking we don't want to block the traffic light. So, okay, we'll cooperate with that. That's fine. We can still reach our intended audience and so forth. So in that situation, the issue, okay, is the blocking of the traffic light. Let's say again, if that were the problem, the issue there is not blocking the traffic light. The issue is not what's on the sign. Now, so what the police would say in a situation like that would be completely constitutional, okay? Completely constitutional. But what if
The next day, somebody came there with the opposite message on their sign. Let's say I was standing there with my friends and we had a pro-life sign. And then the next day, somebody standing there is having a pro-choice sign. And they didn't have to move. What if the law enforcement were to say, oh, we like their sign better, we're just going to let them stay? That is unconstitutional. That's called viewpoint discrimination. When you treat the person who's doing the speaking and holding a sign as a form of speech, when you treat the person differently based on the content of the message and whether you like it or not, as opposed to something like, well, you know, standing over here is blocking people's view of the traffic light. See the difference? So viewpoint discrimination, that is paying attention to what's on the sign and treating people differently, is not allowed in our country. It is not allowed. No matter what your message is, you have just as much of a right to say it as the person who disagrees with you. And furthermore, the person who disagrees with you has no right to stop you from speaking because they disagree. They have no right to stop you from speaking. They have the right to speak their own message. They can try to refute or disprove or argue against your message. Well, that's what public debate is all about. They have the right to give their opinion about your message, but not to shut you up. And this is a fundamental principle of American constitutional law, a fundamental aspect of understanding the First Amendment. And the reason why protected speech is protected is precisely that our founding fathers understood that some people would be so angry at the speech that they heard that they would try to shut it down. And that's where the First Amendment comes as a protector and says, all right, hold on a second. You folks over here, you might be raging mad about this message. You might even think this message is causing damage. You can't shut the speaker up. Give your own message in refutation, but you can't squelch the speech itself. You can't do that to the president either. So people have got to get off this ridiculous bandwagon. Oh, well, he incited violence. Cut it out. Knock it off. Stop the nonsense. You got a message? Speak it. You don't like somebody else's message? Well, you know what? That's the price you pay for living in a free society. We've got to be able to tolerate the messages we don't like. All right, friends. Well, I went longer than I thought I would go. I'm going to get a good night's sleep, and I'll see you in the morning. We'll have Mass at 10 a.m. All of you are welcome, even if you're not Catholic. Boy, we have a nice, strong audience. You know, we have more people watching us right now than the Biden had on his last live stream. And somebody was telling me, oh, Biden's doing a live stream. He's got 1,300 viewers. 1,300? Are you kidding me? We get that at the drop of a hat every single day and way, way more. Where does that guy come from anyway? I don't know. We'll figure that out next time. Thanks, friends. May the Lord bless you, strengthen you, answer all your prayers, give you his protection and his peace, and may he bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Father Frank Pavone. Have a great night.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.